God's people, let's turn in the scriptures of God's word to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll be reading verses 23 through 34. First Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 34. And before we read the word of the Lord, let's first go to the Lord in prayer, ask for His blessing upon us. Our gracious Father, we give You praise that You are the God who reveals Yourself through the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. And not only in the preaching of the Word, but in the reading of Your Word, we often take for granted that we cannot hear without Your working. And so, Father, even in the reading with our eyes and hearing with our ears, we ask for Your grace by Your Spirit to work in us, to work also in our minds, our hearts, our wills, and our affections. And that You would grow us in understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, and bring about the salvation of Your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, these are the words of the living and true God. They are fully authoritative upon our lives. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I'll set in order when I come." Those are God's words. In the next Lord's Day morning in worship, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. And as we've been doing this since last year, when preparing to partake of the Supper of our Lord together, we've been hearing a sermon on how we ought to prepare to partake in the Lord's Supper, especially this week, and are approaching His holy table, so that we might be blessed and not judged. It's been a while since hearing the first few sermons on this topic, so we'll give a little refresher, and especially some of your visitors today. Preparation, as we've heard the last couple of times, is a Christian duty. You heard it talked about there in 1 Corinthians 11. It's a Christian duty that the Lord requires of us. And if we make preparations for when people come to our houses and we feed them, and so we prepare the food and Maybe if they're staying over the night, we prepare the bed, prepare the room, make sure the house is clean. And how much more preparation is needed when we come to the worship of the living and true God? And how much more then also preparation for when we come and partake of the Lord's Supper together? Especially the sacrament, which He designed and instituted so that we would be blessed and grow in faith and sanctification by His grace. This heavenly feast we're privileged to partake in is that which foreshadows and is preparing us, the children of God, for glory when we will feast forever in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so, beloved, just as Paul said here in 1 Corinthians, the Lord through Paul to the church in Corinth, so, beloved, you are to take this seriously. As we read the passage, did you notice a few times, how many times judgment is spoken of or implied? And have you asked yourself, do I want to be blessed or do I want to be judged? If you want to be blessed, then you must prepare. And just as in the past we've learned so far, there's a need, there's a command to examine ourselves. And right there, inside part of your bulletin, again, on the right-hand side, there's the larger catechism, 171, it's there in your bulletin. And one of the doctrinal questions and answers of what we as a congregation believe, and that spells out for us what our belief is in how we are to prepare to come to the Lord's Supper. And it summarizes there God's teaching from His Word. We've examined 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. And the implication there is that if there's a warning of partaking in an unworthy manner, then that must mean it is possible to do so. It is possible to come to the Lord's Supper and partake in an unworthy manner, if there's the warning for it. It is possible for the child of God to partake in an unworthy manner. And how daring we would be then if we did not seek out partaking in a worthy manner, because we would eat and drink judgment upon ourselves if we do not. Right? That's the warning. That's the conclusion. That's the result of coming in an unworthy manner. That we might become weak, and some of you may be weak today because of this. Some of you might be sick, as it says in the passage, because of this. And some of those who have gone on before us and have died, who are now asleep in the Lord, they may have died because of this. We've learned that those who do come, verse 29, those who do come in an unworthy manner do not discern the Lord's body. And we see verse 28, what we must do therefore to discern the Lord's body. It says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So self-examination is required. But what is the purpose of preparing and examining ourselves? God has given this sacrament to bless the child of God and grow the child of God, you, Lord willing, to grow you in His grace. And yet if we say we must prepare, as God says we must prepare, some people take that and they think, then this needed examination of myself is a means, as we've heard before, is a means to keep me from the sacrament. But that could not be further from the truth, because you look at verse 28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so, that is, and so in this way, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so this preparation, this examination is in order for you to eat and drink, not to keep you from it. The outcome of your self-examination, beloved, ought to be your repentance from your sin. It ought to be growth in Christ. It ought to be a growth in faith and in love for Him. And then receiving the blessing from God. The blessing being growing in faith, love, and hope in Him. It's only when we don't prepare when we don't examine ourselves, that we're told that we are partaking unworthily. Verse 27, therefore whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So how serious then, as we've considered, if we do come and partake unworthily, and you're saying to yourself, I have come before and I have partaken unworthily, and yes, you have. Yes, I have. So very true of every single one of us here who are God's children, who have partaken in the Lord's Supper. So that then, beloved, if there are so serious judgments of to partaking unworthily, then we must strive today to partake in a worthy manner. Because our God calls us to examine ourselves. And if we do not do that this week, if we do not, then we are disobeying the Lord. Disobeying, verse 28. Verse 28 says, this is what you must do in coming to the Lord's Supper. And yet what we are doing in our preparation, in our examination of ourselves, is not. It is not making ourselves worthy to be able to come to the Lord's table. That's the whole point of the gospel. The whole point then of the Lord's Supper is that we are not worthy and we can do nothing to be worthy. We can earn nothing by our own merits. We're not good enough. What is required here is not your own merits in preparation. The merit alone belongs to Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is for unworthy people who cling alone to Jesus Christ, who makes them worthy through His sacrifice. If you're in Christ, then you are worthy to partake of the supper, and yet you ought not to come too easily to the supper of our Lord. You are to examine yourself. And examine yourself how? We've learned, examine yourself first and foremost of whether you're in Christ. It's right there in your bulletin, the catechism answer. Of whether you're in Christ. Are you in union with Christ? 1 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you're disqualified. Have you believed the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you're a sinner, deserving of God's just and eternal punishments, having sinned against Him, and yet Christ, who is God, who became man, so God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever, that He obeyed the law and lived a perfect, righteous life, and then died a perfect, satisfactory, atoning death on the cross, was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead. And now seated on the throne as our Mediator King, as we pray, do you believe that gospel? But not simply believing it, not simply believing the facts and that they are true, but do you trust that gospel, that good news, that you believe and trust that Jesus lived a perfect righteous life for you? You can say, He did that for me. He did that for the church, the bride of Christ. He did it for me. He died for me. Because without His life, His death, His resurrection, I'm nothing. I'm unworthy. I have no merit before the Lord. And so the first part that we need to examine that we covered previously, are we in the faith? Are you in Christ? And then we saw it as well that we must prepare by examining our sins and our wants. This is the catechism says, examine your sins, where you disobey the Lord. Where do you see God's commandments and then disobey Him? And then your wants, where you lack in keeping His commandments. So I'm not doing these things over here, but I'm doing other things. This week we must examine where we lack in righteousness and holiness and knowledge. And when we examine ourselves concerning these things, we need to remember that it's a problem. If you examine yourself this week and you come away with, well, how great I am. I'm a good Christian. If that's what you find, you have not examined yourself honestly. You haven't done it truthfully, or you haven't done it at all. Every single one of us here has remaining sin, at least. If you're a Christian, you have remaining sin this very morning. And now during worship, you've sinned in thought or word or deed. I won't go into how you've done that. But it was David who was the man after God's own heart. And yet he murdered a man. He committed adultery with a man's wife. Even as a child of God. And then he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." There's no one else in all of Scripture who's said to be the man after God's own heart. And yet he confesses his sins. It truly is a problem if you examine yourself and you find that you're okay. 1 John 1, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And you better not make him a liar. And this is why self-examination is so important, so as to root out those sins that cling so easily to us, and then they kind of hide themselves from us, or we hide them and we kind of suppress our knowledge of them. And we're keeping them and doing them, or we kind of don't even know we're doing them. If we neglect self-examination, sin will progress. It will get worse and worse and worse. But the Lord's Supper has been given to us to spur us on in our faith and to put to death the sin that is within us. Remember last time also, we were encouraged to go through the larger catechism of the Ten Commandments. And there you'd see how great a sinner you are. If you don't think you have time for that, go to the shorter catechism on the Ten Commandments. Examine yourself and your wants and your sins. But now today we move on to the next part in which we must examine ourselves according to the Scripture. In the larger catechism there in your bulletins, it says, "They that receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper are, before they come, to prepare themselves thereunto by examining themselves of their, one, being in Christ, two, of their sins and wants, and then here, of the truth and measure of their knowledge." Knowledge of God. Do you know as much as you ought to know about God? About the Bible? About Jesus Christ? About the Holy Spirit? About the things of God? About His commands? Are you ignorant of many things of the Lord? The questions we're asking today are the questions you ought to ask yourself this week. Am I ignorant of the many things of the Lord? Even reading through the Scriptures, you come to a passage, you say to yourself, "I don't know what that means." And yet, you think, "I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for so long, some of you. I should know what that means by now." And you've thought to yourself before, "I need to study that more." But you haven't. You've put it off and put it off. You think it's not important. And so are there things to know about God that in your growth in the Lord, you ought to have known by now? How long have you been a Christian? You remember the Jews, Hebrews chapter 5. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," he says, "you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." You're like a baby, he's saying. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You examine yourself, you think to yourself, "I've been a Christian for so many years. I grew up in the church. I know these things. I should know these things. And yet, the author to the Hebrews is saying to some of you who are older in the faith, you ought to know way more than you know now. You're still acting like a baby, still nursing and drinking the milk when you should be eating the meat. Why? Why don't you know what you ought to know? Because you don't have enough time? No, we have plenty of time. We have so much time, we invent things to do to fill up our time. There's nothing really keeping us from knowing God and having this knowledge of God and growing in that knowledge. If we don't know what we ought to know, then there's a way to fix that problem, isn't there? Self-examination helps us to identify those types of problems. That is, examination helps us to identify our sins and our wants, right? Here's how you may begin to examine yourself. What did we engage to know in the past week? The news? The things of work? Many and various entertainments? We're a very knowledgeable people. Perhaps one could argue that we're, in our age, the most knowledgeable people about the world, about the things of the world. We know a lot about the world, more now than people in the past. We're knowledgeable about trivial things. We often know about what celebrities are doing and thinking and saying, even though who cares? We know what politicians did this past week. Again, who cares? What the big news headlines were and what Congress or the president or the nation did or nations around the world did. Some of those are important to know and pray about. But how much time did you spend knowing something you already knew about it? We're knowledgeable about things we learn in podcasts and blogs and magazines and every little up-to-date thing to do with our families and our children and our grandchildren. We know everything. We're knowledgeable about cars, the latest sales at the grocery store, places of business for clothes, other things we often covet. We're knowledgeable about babies and doula-ing and midwifery and breastfeeding and health and food. But the big questions, did we study Jesus? Did we study God? Did we study the Lord this week? Or last week? Did we spend time meditating upon His Word day and night as we're commanded to do by the Lord? Have you known God? Have you communed with Him in prayer and meditation? Of course, this is going to lead to knowing yourself. Better examination of yourself when you know God. If you haven't sought to know God more this last week, then this week, in examining yourself and your knowledge, seek to know Him more. How long have you been a Christian? If you're a Christian at all, have you been a Christian long enough to know certain things that you ought to know by now? I remember Hebrews always cracks me up. It says in Hebrews 6, these are the things we ought to know if you've been in the faith for a time. He says, leaving a discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. And this is just after that passage that talks about the Jews still on milk, and they've not moved on to the meat. Leaving a discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Repentance you ought to know. Of the faith toward God, you ought to know about the faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptisms. Of the laying on of hands, that's ordination, you ought to know this. Of the resurrection of the dead. Of eternal judgment. You should know eschatology. You should know when Christ is returning. The future. And what is true about that time. And leading up to that time. You should know these things if you've been a Christian for a long time. Or a decent amount of time. Well, make a list of those things you need to study that you come to and you're, I need to know this. I should know this. People keep talking about it. I have no idea what they're talking about. It's in the Bible, but I don't know, I don't understand it. Put it on a list. I need to study that. I need to ask pastor about that. I need to ask the session about that. And we're not talking about your personal hobby horse things you love to study in the scriptures and in doctrine about God. Move on from those things. Keep going back to them and refreshing yourself, but move on from them and learn new things about the Lord. Do you know the average American spends, at least this is an old statistic, 5 hours a day, or 5 hours a week, 5 hours a day watching television? That's a little less now for the younger generation because of their phones, so they're streaming things on their phones, so that's like TV. And they spend 5 hours a day doing that, and add to that number of hours you're just on your phone doing other things, or on the computer, on the internet, and we fill up our days with entertainment. But if we remove that, just for hypothetical, we remove that or a majority of the time of that used in various places, how much time would we have to study our Savior? How much time would we have to study the Holy Spirit and the things of God? If we remove the time of TV, phones, internet, even much of that time, some of that time, most of us sadly would be bored. We wouldn't know what to do. Study the Lord. Study His Word. Learn about the things of God. It's not, beloved, because of a lack of time. It's because of two things. You see, we fill up our time with meaningless vanity. It's because of two things. A lack of interest in the things of God, and a lack of zeal for the things of God compared to other things. What is that called? That's called idolatry. And you should have no other gods before me, he says. And yet we put those other things, whatever they are, before him and waste our time. And that time that could be spent growing in our knowledge of the Lord. Be honest with yourself when you examine yourself this week. Families, you don't spend time in family worship because you have a lack of interest in studying the Lord and knowing the things of the Lord with your families. Making sure husbands, fathers, that they know them. Many times making excuses for why you can't study the Lord as a family. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, you have time. Make time. Get rid of the other things that you idolize. And make time. Christians do not neglect the scriptures because of a lack of time, but because of a lack of interest. Failing to set priorities. Set your priorities. The priorities of the Christian must be first and foremost God's priorities. And His priorities for us are very clear. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, etc. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food." You wonder who the author of the Hebrews is. "For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal." Let that not be true of you. This is written to the church. There are people in the church like this that need to hear that. Maybe all of us need to hear it. We all need to hear it. Commit yourself this week to a greater search of the knowledge of God found in the Scriptures. And what better way to prepare and then coming to the table of the Lord and communing with Christ and with His people, where we are corrected and redirected to what should be the focus of our minds and our hearts and our wills and our lives, our affections even. In preparing for the supper, we must examine ourselves according to our knowledge. how we use our time. If we find we have sinned in this manner after examining ourselves, how do we fix that problem? How do we turn from our sin? How do we repent of this particular sin particularly? Again, our larger catechism is helpful there in your bulletin. It says at the very bottom of the answer, after giving a whole list of things that we struggle with, it says, we are to renew the exercise of this grace. And so here's the grace of knowledge. We are to renew the exercise of this grace by serious meditation and fervent prayer to God. Meditate then on the law day and night. Meditate on His Word all the time. If you want to know what meditation is, talk to me afterwards. Meditate and be unceasing in prayer. Unceasing in prayer. We don't correct this sin by merely acknowledging we're a sinner and we need Christ for and His righteousness. We move beyond that. We don't give that up. We hold on to that. We move beyond it with it in that context, moving forward, and we commit our way to the Lord and pursue knowledge of our Lord in union with Him. And we do it through meditating on Him. Meditating on His Word. Meditating on a particular doctrine. And wherever we would then go in our minds to find the truth of that in the Scriptures. We meditate. And then we, in fervent prayer, ask for His help. James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And we ask, like the psalmist asked so many times over and over and over, we ask, quoting Scripture back to him and saying, Lord, just like the verses we've read today, Lord, you don't want us to be like the babe. You want us to move on and grow. So work in me by your Spirit to grow me. And pursue, then, going into His Word and growing in knowledge. So come, prepare, and preparing for the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day. And this week you must examine yourself. Are you in Christ? Do you have true faith? Are you lying to yourself about that? Do I say, I believe the gospel, and yet your life does not reflect that gospel? Your desires, your emotions, do they reflect the gospel and the truth of it in your life? You believe the facts of the gospel, you believe they're true, but do you trust that Jesus lived a righteous life for you? His righteousness is yours? He died on the cross for your sins. He died on the cross for your guilt. He's your Savior who saved you from your sins and redeemed you out of the bondage of slavery to sin and brought to you newness of life, clothed you with the righteousness of Himself, of Christ. Do you believe with all of your being that Jesus did what the gospel teaches us that He did for you? And you trust that without Christ, without the gospel, without the Holy Spirit working in your heart, you're a wretched sinner deserving of hell and damnation forever, and you still are today. Except Christ. Examine yourself if you're in your sins or your wants, of your sins and your wants. Do you truly hate your sin? Do you abhor sin? Do you, when you don't meet God's standard and His commands, you're disobeying His commands, do you hate that about yourself when you do that? And beloved, turn from those sins. And love righteousness, cling to Christ from those and those failures and promises. Cling to those promises and that hope that's found in Him alone. When we come to examine ourselves, what we must see is a glimpse of what the Lord sees. What does He see? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what we need to see when we come and examine ourselves. Who knows the thoughts and intentions of the heart? The Lord does. So go to the Lord in prayer. Go to the Lord in His Word. He will teach you about yourself. And so when you examine yourself, examine your knowledge. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of Jesus and the Spirit. Knowledge of the things of God, those Scriptures. And turn to the Lord where you ought to know Him, but don't. Turn to Jesus and meditate seriously upon His Word. Fervently pray, seeking His face. And you even plead to Him, Lord, I desire to commune with my husband, Christ. Like the Song of Songs teaches us. And so in that way, then come to the table. Found worthy in Christ Jesus our Savior. Remember that preparation is completely needed. Completely missing in our day in the church, but completely needed for us and all God's people to bring about blessing to your life, that you would grow in grace. He teaches us here how to prepare, verse 28, examining ourselves. By examining ourselves, so then we come and eat and drink. Eat of the bread, drink of the cup. If you're in Christ, we must acknowledge that we're all weak. It's precisely why we have the Lord's Supper then. You're unworthy of yourself to come, but Christ makes you worthy if you're in union with Him. Come and rest wholly on His worth and upon His worthiness. This is the only way to come to the Lord's Supper. It's the only way to come to worship. But if you're not in Christ, if you do not trust in Him for your life, if you do not embrace Christ, if you do not see your sin, and when you do sin, you hate that sin, if you don't hate your sin, and you're not found working to put it to death by God's grace, you have no or little knowledge of God, you care not to know Him anymore, then you are not worthy to partake of the table, at the table. And if you did come, you're in danger of eating and drinking judgment to yourselves. That's exactly the picture of the gospel too. And there is blessings and curses of the gospel. Those who believe it and trust it for their life are blessed forever. And those who hate it and spurn against it will be judged forever. Know that about yourself. If you hate the gospel, if you hate the Lord's Supper, if you hate the things of God, then you are in the way of judgment. You're walking the wide path to destruction. And you need to come to Christ. You need to come to Christ today, lest you be judged. You need to turn to Him. Some of you have made profession of faith. You've got up here or somewhere. You said, I'm a Christian. I believe the gospel. You've met with elders. They've approved you to partake in the Lord's Supper. But upon your examination, you begin to question whether you're in Christ. I don't know if I'm in Christ. You may begin to question your salvation then upon examining and your sins and your wants, your knowledge. And we encourage you then to contact the elders immediately. We'll talk with you and meet with you to help you discern. Because we heard, I think it was last time, wouldn't it be just like the devil to tempt you in that way, Christian, and deceive you, cloud your mind, because he is seeking someone to devour. That you would question your salvation of whether you're in the faith. So come to your elders. We'll meet with you and help you discern. But if you find yourself truly not in Christ, your faith being not in Him and Him alone for your salvation, He is not your worth and your worthiness to come to Him. He is not the source of your knowledge. And you cannot come to the Lord and His table. And you hear a questioning whether you're in the faith or not, come to Christ now. You're a Christian, you profess faith, you are questioning it. Come to Christ now. Turn from your sins. Repent. And believe on the salvation. You're called to go this week, this day, to examine yourself, to know whether you're in the faith, lest coming unprepared and unworthily in yourself, you judge yourself. Come next Lord's Day, rather, having examined yourself, knowing you're in the faith, knowing that you have those sins and wants that make you unworthy, but in Christ you know I am worthy. Come that way. And come knowing greater the Lord. Knowing you're in the faith. That yes, I am unworthy, but Christ makes me worthy. And He's the one who goes out and He calls me to come to His table and to partake with Him. You are to come, those of you who do examine yourselves, knowing Christ covered those sins. Christ is your worth. In that way, you are to come so boldly to His throne in worship and come so boldly to His table and partake with no question. I am His child. I am the one that He saved on the cross. And with encouragement, you would be blessed richly by our Lord Jesus Christ, who is also our Savior. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the warnings, but also the promises of blessing. Pray that You'll be with each and every one of us this week. This is not an easy thing to do. Help us to examine ourselves, to see if we are in the faith or not, to see if we're in Christ, in union with Him, or not. To examine our sins and wants and repent and turn from those sins unto You. Examine our knowledge and how we waste our time, how we're not as interested as we ought to be in You. And we're not zealous for that time that we have to spend with You. Father, help us. We are all unworthy. Father, we pray, if it be Your will, that we would all be seen and know that we are worthy in Christ, even to come to the Lord's Supper and partake. That You would bless Your people and those who are not Your people. That You would turn to Yourself, lest they be judged. Send Your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.